Tonight we are going back into the book of Luke, and in going back into the book of Luke, we're going to start at chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 33. Now, to those who had the opportunity to hear me play a song from the Dramatics, what you see is what you get. This is probably the first time you've heard this song played with the intentions that I have. My title for tonight is, What You See is What You Get. Be careful how you see. Now, I'm going to frame this in a context so that it doesn't make you think that everything that you want and you see, you're going to get it. But I'm going to frame this in the context of what's being taught in this passage. So without any further ado, I just want Andrina to start reading for us in verse 33. Please read, precious.
No one, after lighting a light, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light.
34.
Your eye is the light of the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness.
I said, what you see is what you get. Now we have to understand that Jesus had just got through teaching the people, talking to the people, showing them that there was a problem that they had. And the problem that they had, they were seeing him wrongly. He had shown that the queen of the south had a better ability to see than some of the men that were around during the time of Solomon. She came from the wisdom of, from the south to hear the wisdom of Solomon. The men of Nineveh, not only were they able to see or perceive and heard what Jonah had to say. That was a woman that felt that she could see the benefits of being with Jesus. Bless the paps that you suckled on. But Jesus wanted her to see something better than that. Those that hear the word of God and keep it. And if you were to roll with the context of what was happening in chapter 11, he was setting things up for people to see what to see. So it looks as if you read this passage, what does verse 33 have to do with the rest of it? But it has everything to do with it. No man, when he's lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, but he puts it on a bushel. He puts it on a lampstand so that all, remember we're in different versions, that's why I'm saying bushel. Mm-hmm. So when they look, they get a chance to see this candle or this light on the bushel, giving light to the house. Two things to take point of right here. These are people many times that are not listening to Jesus, yet you want to see a miracle. Why would he take this light and put it in a dark place for you, because it's not going to be able to lighten you up. It's not going to be able to give you anything because your eye is full of darkness. What you see is darkness, and what you get is more continuation of that. Those that see and see the light, they get more of it. He says here, it gives light to all that come in that they may see. Yet, an individual that walks with God, you don't hide your life from God. You don't hide your life and let everybody feel that, well, you know, that they can just see how I live, but I'm never going to speak up. This type of thing is used twice in the scripture. It's used of the individual that would have the light of God in their life, that they would let it show, and they would hide it. And here it is being used in the sense of showing that the light is supposed to give luminance. But 34 needs to be zeroed in some. The light of the body is the eye. What you see is going to come through the eye. If your eye is single, if your eye is good, the body is full of light. If your eye is good, what you see will be goodness that you will get from God. Remember, this is Jesus primarily talking about the way that they see him. He talked about the Queen of the South, and he talked about Jonah. We go roll back, we can see how Mary and Martha saw him. If your body If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is evil, the darkness is what you're going to get. You can find evil. You can find dirt. Even in the Lord Jesus Christ. If that's what kind of glasses you have on. If those are the glasses that you have on. I declare to you what you see. Will be what you get. I declare you might have good intentions. But your good intentions are coming through an evil eye. Your good intentions would even be wrong. And read some more. Let Jesus explain the sweetest word of God.
Therefore, be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light.
Do you see? If your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the word of God said will be wholly bright. I believe what he's saying is you'll be able to receive instruction. You'll be able to be as wise as that woman that came from the south to hear the wisdom of Solomon. You'll be able to sit at his feet like Mary and receive the one thing that you need. You'll be the very one that not, you won't be looking, trying to be like the one who paps, because you can't go back and be the paps that Jesus would suck on, but you can hear the word of God and keep it. You can at least be like the men of Nineveh that heard the word of God and was blessed. What you see will be what you get. It's especially when you're dealing with Jesus. Please read.
While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table.
I submit to you that what's happening here might look like it doesn't fit. What's going on? It may look like it's not a segue, but it is. Because now Jesus has stated what it would be like with an evil eye, or an eye that's not good, or an eye that's single. And he's also stated what it would be like with a darkened eye. And Luke is putting this thing so sweetly for Theophilus, so that Theophilus would know how to see. Because what you see is what you get when you're dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, amen, who sits between the cherubim. So here's the Pharisee asked him to come and dine. So he reclined with him in the way that the Hebraic or the Jews would do it. What happened? Verse 38.
The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner.
He was astonished to what?
To see that he did not first wash.
The Pharisee, he was astonished to see. What is the issue here? Did he see with a good eye, or did he see with a dark eye? Did he see with a single eye, or an eye that's full of darkness? Read 39 and let's let Jesus unravel this for us.
And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness."
Next verse.
You fools!
Read.
Did not he who made the outside make the inside also?
Jesus looks at this man who's looking at him, realizing who he is. This man is not realizing who Jesus is, but Jesus knows who Jesus is. Therefore, Jesus does not have to go and appeal to this man. He doesn't have to try to make this man like him, because I'm here. I'm already the light. I am the light of the world. And for me to go and jump through hoops to you, and you're in darkness, what good is it going to do? Is this going to indict you more? So the Pharisee is looking at him as we reclining at the table. And what did he want to see? First of all, you know there's a problem when somebody's astonished to see something and Jesus said they're wicked right after that. If Jesus has just said that the person whose eye is evil or dark is full of darkness, we see that what this man sees is what he gets. What do you mean? You don't see Jesus as the one of God. You see him as someone blasphemous. You see him as a pretender. You see him as one that is unworthy to be lauded. You see him as one unworthy for you to even be a disciple. You look at him and you see him as one that transgressed God. He didn't even wash his hands the right way that we wash our hands, because the glasses that I wear, the eye that I have, it is so dark. When it looks at him, it doesn't see his light. But Jesus said to him, "You Pharisees," now this is the Jesus that people don't understand or see. He's not beating around the bush. He could have said, you know, some people are made of plastic. He could have said, some people are made of wood, couldn't he? He could have said, some people have hearts of stone. Mm-hmm. He could have said, some people are up to no good. He could even said he had good intentions. But what did he say? Instead of beating around the bush, Jesus says, "Now you Pharisees." Mm-hmm. You see, a lot of times people teach and they want you to beat around the bush. Don't call anybody out. Mm-hmm. Jesus could have went through that whole litany that was in that song. He said, "No, you Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of a cup and a dish." But then he went from the simile to the point. You cleanse it outside of a dish, ceremonially speaking. But inside, you are full of greed. You want to steal, you want to take, you covet, and on top of that, wickedness. In the words of Miss Stephanie Alford, wicked tree. I submit to you, Jesus can see what we see. And he lays this thing out here beautifully for Theophilus if he follows it through. How you see Jesus is going to determine what you get from Jesus. It's going to determine whether you see him, whether you get a savior of the world, whether you get someone that can deliver you, whether you get someone that can lift you up, that can build you up, or if you get someone that you can look down upon, someone that you can judge, and in turn you end up judging yourself because you don't have the ability to truly judge him. You're actually fighting up against a big old rock with a tennis ball. Mm. Please read. I left out one part. The part that you read so magnificently wonderful. Then he called them fools, Ann. Mm-hmm. He calls them fools. But why did he call them fools? It's because of the way they see. It's what they get in their life by the way that they see. The way that they see determine what they will get in life. You don't want to hear God's word. You want to get the praise of men. You want to get the honor of men. You don't want to see God's word being delivered and being fulfilled as it is. You will condemn the very one that he says to bless you. Mm-hmm. What you see is what you get, but you don't understand sometimes when you, what you see is what you get is not good for you. If you see Jesus through dark eyes, if you see Jesus through a wicked eye, if you see his manservant through a greedy eye or the wrong way, what you're going to get is going to be damnation, but you'll still get that person with your jaundiced eye. But if you see him as they are, salvation, deliverance, and blessing. Let the scripture unfold. I like it that he called them fools. I like the fact that he said, your problem is, when he made the outside of the cup or the inside, he talking about you. Inside and out, he made both of you, but you want to wash your doggone hands, but your heart is still full of greed and wickedness. I see you, and I get you too. Please read.
But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you.
Stop being greedy. Stop seeing everything for yourself. Start seeing things the way that God is, and you'll stop coveting. You'll stop being greedy, and you'll be able to share something and give to somebody else, and your eye will not be evil. Greedy dogs. That's what they call them in Isaiah. Mm-hmm. Greedy dogs. Please read.
But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others.
Do you see that by the way that they see things, that's what they get? They get a short-sighted view of what God wants. They get the counterfeit instead of the real, because what they see is the external. What they see is the ritual. So what they'll do is they'll go and find little herbs in every little bit of minutia, not Josiah, every little bit of minutia, and they'll want to give tithes of that to look good. They'll wash the outside of a cup and platter to look good. Jesus said in one place, they love to be called rabbi. Jesus said in one place, that you love the chief seats. But Jesus said, you do all of those things, but you fail to see the weightier matters of the law. But I submit to you, it's not that they just fail to see it. It's the way that they see it. They see it as insignificant. They see it as unworthy. They see it as that which we don't have to do. And what they see is what they get. You want the ritual instead of the substance? You want praise of man instead of praise of God? You see it, you want it, you get it. But the very thing that you see that you have no desire for, you don't get. The very thing you should be wanting. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I submit to you that there have been many of us who have fallen in the same boat. And I don't ever want to fall in that boat again, because I'm telling you, it's got a hole in it and it's going down. You know, the wrestler sometimes, you're going down. It's going down. Read some more what Jesus has to say. It's so beautiful.
Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it.
Do you see that? Do you see what he just said about these men that feel like they got the best view? The men are supposed to be the one that's setting up what righteousness is. Jesus looked at them and I see you. And I get you. And I don't want you. Let me tell you who you are. You want to be big. You want to be called pastor, bishop, or what, rabbi. You want to be called a doctor of the law. You want to be held up high in the marketplace. You don't have the love of God. You don't have the justice of God, because you don't see that as a value. You don't see humility as something of value. You don't see lifting other people up as something of value. You want to walk on them to elevate yourself. That's what you see as value. And you're so wicked, you're so ungodly, you're so foolish that when people don't see you as they are, what they get is this. They get somebody like an unmarked grave and people walk over them without knowing. What does that mean? What does that mean? To the Jewish people, to touch a dead body or to walk in that area would make them unclean. You are a contamination to those who are with you. You! But you feel that you have the right view of what righteousness is. Your eye is dark. Your whole body is full of darkness. And you get more and more of it. And you breed people that desire more and more of it, because they can't see what they need to see. And what they see is what they get. I submit to you, you follow an idolatrous Jesus and you'll get everything that goes along with him. You get a Jesus that will let you live like you want to. You get a Jesus that lets you mistreat your wife and your children. You get a Jesus that lets you walk in ungodliness and you feel good about yourself. I got a CD right there that says, if you believe your soul secure, yet in your sin you dwell, the false grace message you believe will lead you into hell. And then the rest of the song says, the refrain, don't believe the lie, because what you see is what you get. But often you don't know what you're seeing. So Jesus defined it. You see darkness, you don't see the light. Please read.
One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, you saying these things, you insult us also."
So what does he see? He doesn't see Jesus as a great value. He sees Jesus as one that will insult. He sees Jesus as one that is blasphemous, picking on us, don't know what he's talking about. What he sees is what he gets. Give it to him, Jesus. Next verse.
And he said, "Woe to you, lawyers, also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they kill them, and you build their tombs.
I want to just kind of slow it down for just a moment. What they saw was an insult. What they saw is somebody that's out of line. What they saw, the eye is so full of darkness. You didn't see the value in him. They didn't see nothing about we should repent. But I submit to you, what you see is what you get. But we got somebody else doing some seeing, and that's the Lord Jesus. I'm telling you, I get you, lawyers. You roll people up with this little myth, this little rule, this little washing, this little that. We got to do it this way on the Sabbath, that way on the Sabbath. Honor me, honor him, so and so. And just on and on and on that you've added so much to what God's word say in the eyes of the people that they can't even see God's word because you have perpetuated their darkness. I mean, your darkness. Now their eyes are dark following you. I got to pull the cover back. So that they can see you as you really are. But you still don't get me. So he says, what you do, you don't even bear in yourself. You exempt yourself. Then you build the tombs of the prophets. You do another outward show. You build the tombs. You want to be seen some more. So what you see is that a dead prophet, not giving God's word, deserves honor. Not while he's living, we'll build up this tomb. We'll make it beautiful on the outside. Oh, this was Prophet Ebo Sang. This was Prophet Ladi Da. This was Prophet Ataka Taka. These were the great prophets. But Jesus said, you build to show honor on the outside because you didn't see their value. And your fathers killed them. I'm linking you with your father that you have the same disrespect and dishonor for the prophets as your father did. And the main thing that you want to do is honor after when they can't be an indictment to you. And Jesus says, so you are witnesses. That you consent. I see you. You have the same eyesight. You consent to the deeds of your fathers because they killed them. And you build their tomb. It reminds me of some sorry, good-for-nothing piece of the people that call themselves children. And then when their mama die, you treat them like a dog when they were alive. You didn't have much use for them when they were alive. You took advantage of them every time you could. Or you disregarded them every time you could. Or you never really had nothing to say to them. And then when they die, well, my mama used to always say, and I want you to shut up! Because I see you. Don't bring that to me. Because I might do to Jesus and say the same words he say. Well, he said, you build a tomb. Verse 49. Give us the rest of that thought, please.
Therefore also the wisdom of God said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation.
Do you see what Jesus says in the wisdom of God? God said, I'm going to send you prophets. I'm going to send you somebody to open your eyes so you can see. I'm going to send you somebody to warn you of that which is to come. I'm going to send somebody to let you know what my blessing will be for you. I'm going to send somebody to turn you around, because most of the time when he did send prophets, they get turned away. And I'm going to send them to you. The wisdom of God said it. And some of them, what you're going to see is not someone that's coming to represent God. What you're going to see is someone that comes to destroy the nation. They come to destroy and to tear up the peace. Somebody that come to tear down your kingdom. Somebody that come, what was it that Ahab said to Elijah? Didn't you come to trouble the nation? Didn't he say it?
Yes.
Because what you see is what you get in your own mind when it comes to the things of God. It didn't stop Elijah from being a man of God. It didn't stop Elijah this prophecy from not coming true that the dog will lick your blood like it did Naboth. What you see is what you get, but you didn't know what you saw. You saw your own damnation because you saw him through darkened eyes, and the very condemnation that you saw on him is the very condemnation that's coming to yourself. And so therefore, he said, I'll send them. They'll kill them. They'll persecute them. But there's a so that there. That conjunction says so that the blood of all the prophets. that shed from the beginning of the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation. Why is that? Because you don't see me. You see me through darkened eyes. I'm the fulfillment of that which they talked about. I am the replication of what Abel was. I'm the replacement for Abel. I'm the replacement for Adam. I'm the replacement for all the prophets. I am the consummation of what that is, and all the blood that your fathers, and you follow the same thing because you don't see me. You know, it's the same thing, and I've said it before. I want to reiterate it. When you see an idolatrous Jesus, that's what you get. You may see Joseph Smith's Jesus, the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's what you see. That's what you get. If you follow Charles Taz Russell, you see a Jesus that's Michael the Archangel only. A God. A little God. That's a Jehovah's Witness. What they see is what they get. If you're a Muslim, and you only see Jesus as a prophet, but not as good as Muhammad, who is the seal of the prophet, they say, who is not God, what you see is what you get. If you see Jesus as someone that will allow you to do and say everything you want to, that's what you get. But I submit to you, that is what you get, only in a sense. Jesus is never going to just be a prophet like they say because that's what they get. He's not only going to just be going to be Michael the Archangel because that's what they get. He's always going to be who he is, but what you get is what you get. And there's a consequence for it. But and there's another side of that. Did you see the illustration that I was trying to bring up? The illustration was showing that when you diminish Jesus, that's all you get is a diminished Jesus. But there's the thing is, when you see Jesus as he is in a different way, what do you mean in a different way, Tim? I mean, they didn't see his value. And what they get is whatever the residue is left, whether he's a blasphemer, whether he's a liar, whether he's someone that's just out to make trouble, whether he's someone that's deceiving the people, that's all that they got. That was my illustration was trying to make. So now we said, so that all the blood of the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, it shall be required of this generation. God is saying that this generation, they're going to be required because you've had it made. Then he says in verse 52, woe to you lawyers. You have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and you hindered those that were entering. What does he mean? He says, you lawyers, you the one that's supposed to be describing and teaching and laying it down so people can understand what God wanted, how God wanted you all to live. He says, woe to you all. What do you mean? Why woe to you all? He said, you've taken away the key of knowledge. You're supposed to have been the one that was given what God's laws were. You're supposed to have been a help to the people, making them understand, giving them light, but instead of giving them light, you bringing them darkness, and you yourself would not enter into the light, because what you saw was giving yourself praise, honor, and putting yourself in a position of power. But Jesus said, that's a woe to you. Then the word of God say, and he sent away from there the scribes and the Pharisees. Let me read it again. As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, laying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. I submit to you, but we're in here on verse 54. And they still haven't seen him as he is. They still seen him through darkened eyes. I believe that what Luke did was set Theophilus up in a very beautiful way to see Jesus, who he is, those that did see him as he is, case in point, Martha in the end, but Mary, showing people in the Old Testament that saw and was benefiting, And then shows people in the New Testament that wasn't sin and wasn't benefiting and went back to the Old Testament and showed some that didn't see and didn't benefit. And if you knew their history, you would know that what they saw was what they got. And when you didn't see it the right way, it was always a consequence that you didn't want. And those that saw Jesus as he was, as he said with Mary, Mary has chosen as one thing that cannot be taken away. I don't want to leave this passage without this. Just like Jesus showed that he could see the Pharisees for who they were, their darkness, the lawyers for their darkness, I submit to you that if we roll back a little bit in our mind, he could show you that I could see the men of Sodom. I could see the men of Nineveh because I was there. I could see the queen of the south because I was there. I can see those that will hear the word of God and keep it. Their eyes are single. Their eyes are full of light. I don't have to go and put on a show for anybody. Those that can see, those who have a good eye, they'll benefit. Those that don't, what they see is what they'll get. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for your goodness and your grace, your magnificent glory. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for the very thing that you've done to us to turn us around and make us who you would have us to be. We need you, Lord. We need to really know how to look at you, how to look at your word, never to look at it in the wrong way, because there's always a consequence for seeing things incorrectly. Guide us, lead us, and protect us. In the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus. Amen, amen, and even so, Lord. Amen.